Hello, little boy. Do you like giant robot anime?
Sure do, mister. I love me some Golion.
You're a sick, twisted little fruit, aren't you?
Yes.
Do you enjoy protagonists who are hot-blooded and competent at what they do?
Sure.
Well, you're going to hate this one. Welcome to Gundam.
Yes, and welcome to the 5-Point Podcast.
I'm Burke.
And I'm Bobcat. This week, this is the second week of Mecha Month. Well, the third week, not counting the episode that shall not be named.
And we're just gonna stab a sacred cow. We're watching the 1979 Gundam anime!
Mobile Suit Gundam.
Which I am sure had nothing to do with anime history at all, ever.
Yep, this certainly had no influence. It aired once and was forgotten, only to be aired on Crunchyroll.
Yep. It's just a complete mystery how we even found it. Why anyone who even remembers it must be a low-life loser who has nothing... Yeah, it's the most popular anime series, probably of them all. I think it has more spin-offs than God.
Yeah, this is like the comic books of Japan here, as far as having a continuously built universe, and ultimate universe versions even.
It's kind of insane, and I'm not going to lie, kind of stupid, but...
We've gotten way ahead of ourselves.
Yes, we have pink lightsabers. Okay, what are the 5 points?
Well, here at the 5-Point Podcast, we watch the first 3 episodes of an anime to help you, the viewer, decide whether it's worth your time or not.
Mostly, I just insult you.
Well, yes, but it's towards an end. There's a goal. There's a reason for my suffering.
Not just you. I insult the audience, too. They're all scumbags. Every last one of them.
Oh, Burke. So, the 5 points are... first impressions, where we sort of talk about what we knew about it coming in. Then we talk about story, which is obviously story. Then characters, which is characters. Then presentation, which is presentation. Okay, presentation is animation, music, anything that isn't the story or the characters. And then we give our final thoughts.
Which are our final thoughts, which are shaped like final thoughts, which smell like final thoughts, and taste like chicken. Everything tastes like chicken.
With the possible exception of chocolate.
There's chocolate chicken.
There are chocolate ants. I would be surprised if there weren't chocolate chickens.
Right then, first impressions!
I was kind of hopeful going into this because I've never been a huge Gundam fanboy, but in junior high, I liked watching Gundam Wing. And more recently, I rediscovered G Gundam, which is actually one of my all-time favorite anime.
Spoiler alert, this is nothing like G Gundam.
Or Gundam Wing. Actually, no, this is a lot like Gundam Wing. But but I went into this kind of hopeful. And I was kind of looking forward to it because I realized that this is where they introduced everything. This is where they had the Principality of Zeon, which, interestingly enough, as I understand it, is the villain in most of the series, but I had never actually watched anything that had them in there before.
I might have, because my first impressions were I had seen one Gundam series before this. Gundam SD.
Oh, God.
This was not Gundam SD.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if that rocked your world and shocked you, and now you're having a heart attack. You can go sue Bobcat, he runs everything. This was not Gundam SD. This was actually something with some substance that I remember as something other than a fever dream. Oh god, so many tiny robots.
So first impressions, I think we were both kind of hopeful going into this.
I was hopeful that it wasn't Gundam SD, and...
It delivered.
Yeah, here's a spoiler for my final thoughts. It delivered.
At least on that characteristic.
Yeah.
So, point two, story. This is a story where it looks like it's a slow burn, I would say.
But I will say it's a very different story from Golion. This is... This is... Honestly, this is kind of what Golion wanted to be in a way, at least with the whole destruction of Earth and everything, but this show could really learn from Golion's action.
So basically, it's 50 years after humanity has gone into space, and the outer colonies have declared themselves the Principality of Zeon and are in a desperate fight for independence from Earth.
Yeah.
This is a war that has killed off half of humanity on both sides.
Yeah.
It's really kind of astounding, because it's been 4 months. How do you do that in 4 months?
Lots of nuclear weapons.
They never said the N-word, though, so that's kind of interesting.
It was the late 70s. I don't think they could.
I guess.
Besides, the black people would be all over them if they used the N-word.
But still, it's just kind of hilarious to think about, because it's 4 months. This is the future. Presumably, the human population has gotten bigger. That's why they've moved people into space. In fact, every episode starts with them saying, humanity's excess population has been sent into space.
I kind of like the image of a doctor just shoving infants into a giant rocket and firing it to the moon.
That's like something out of Axe Cop. Like you told Malachi about what overpopulation was, how he'd solve it.
Well, it's bloodthirsty enough. Moving on! So there's an Earth colony. It's making a secret weapon that they call a Gundam for no really explained reason.
I used to know what the word Gundam meant. Like
where it comes from, but in the story itself, it's not explained. That's just what this one special Gundam is called. A Gundam. In fact, you could say it's THE Gundam!
Yes. It was very surreal watching and realizing that decades of series that are still going on today all derived from this one episode.
Yeah. Though, I will be honest, I can kinda see how a franchise could be born from this, but that's digging into final thoughts. So, moving on with the story.
This week we just seem to keep jumping the gun on things.
Oh, that's because there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Now then, seriously, to get back on track, the story. So, secret base, well, not really, secret colony is making a secret Gundam, and then the Zeon people show up and spy, and Sergeant Lieutenant Leroy Jenkins decides, I'm gonna be a hero like Char, who is a masked blonde dude we'll talk about later. And he charges in guns blazing, which kills a lot of people and destroys parts of other robots. And then the son of a scientist gets inside of a giant robot that's also called a Gundam. And they fight, and there are pink lightsabers, and things happen. The son of the scientist is Amuro.
But here's the funny thing. Amuro killed his dad.
Yeah.
See, what happened was Amuro is fighting the two Zaku, which is what they call the Zeon robots. Now here's the funny thing to me, is that they said, okay, we're having a spy mission here. We need to send two agents into the colony, and we don't want them to be detected.
Yeah.
Let's send in two giant robots and tell them to be sneaky. Because that's how stealth works.
Also, just to be extra sure, let's send in Leroy Jenkins.
It boggles my mind that the security there is so lax that they didn't notice a ship pulling up and docking two giant robots.
Yeah, for some reason I have a feeling that 9/11 never happened in this world. Until now.
Security existed before 9/11.
Yeah, but I bet you could bring a giant robot onto a plane in pre-9/11 flight time.
I suppose that there were no specific rules against giant robots on airplanes.
See, that's probably the same deal. Maybe they disguised them as spare Gundams.
Yeah, anyway, so the way Amuro killed his dad, the scientist, is that Amuro gets into the Gundam. I forget how he got into the Gundam.
He just sort of stumbled into it.
I think he was going for cover or something, and he fights the two Zaku, and the way he kills the first Zaku, punches a hole in the side of the space colony, and his dad is sucked out into the unforgiving void of space.
Yeah, did they really touch on that afterwards?
No, I don't remember that coming up again. I think the kid just doesn't realize that he killed his dad.
I honestly don't think he does, because I can't recall. That's going to be a hilarious moment. Wait a minute, where's my dad? Where's my dad? You blew him out the airlock in the first episode.
The really tragic thing is, who would actually know? I don't think there are any witnesses besides him. And he was busy flailing about trying to kill those Zaku.
Speaking of his flailing, we'll get to that in point number three.
So basically, in the course of this attack, And between the team killing and the actual killing by the Zaku, the entire military component of the local base, aside from one severely wounded general, is killed off.
Pretty much.
So you have a crew of the ship trying to get the Gundam back to Earth, because, you know, this is the secret weapon that's going to win them the war. And so they basically have a bunch of inexperienced kids with superior weapons playing keep away from people who sort of know what they're doing.
In theory,
they know what they're doing.
Though their ideas, no. I have to cover their magnificent stealth technique in point number 3. Can't wait to get there. Speaking of which, that's pretty much all of episode 1.
And a good deal of episodes 2 and 3.
Oh,
episodes
no.
2 and 3 are them playing keep away.
Yeah. 3 is also another shining example of stealth, which means fly your giant robot into their space and punch their giant robot.
Yeah, seriously. This is, you know, Burke, I'm going to steal a joke you mentioned earlier. This is like Puma Man. Amuro's superpower isn't being a good robot pilot. It's picking incompetent enemies.
Yes. Speaking of which, characters! I'm going to go on a brief tangent here, people, because the characters in this anime's, they's all's has amazing names. Amuro Ray. Char as Noble. Bright Noah. Mirai Yashima. Sila Mass. Rabaon. Kaishiden. Hayato Kobayashi. Ryu Jose. Seriously? Ryu Jose. Seriously, anime. Lala Soon. Kirin Zabi. Garma Zabi. Kishiri Zabi. Dozel Zabi. DeGwin Zabi. Ramba Rai. And Crowley Hammond. I honestly think they just took a whole bunch of names from a dictionary and threw them together. Lala, really, Lala.
So it sounds like a teenager's first attempt to make fantasy characters.
Kind of. I mean, Char as Noble. As Noble. As Noble.
As what?
Yes. Char as Noble, really. And I swear, Frabow says his name like that all the freaking time.
Fun thing, until we looked up the Wikipedia list, I thought that Frau Bow was German. Her name is spelled Frawbow. So I thought, oh, Frau Bow. Her last name is Bow, and people are just really polite.
Frau Bow!
No.
She's like a Pokemon.
Frau Bow.
Frau Bow!
Frau Bow. I'm now picturing like a little dog thing with a bow.
Yeah, I'm picturing that pink dog as Frau Bow!
Frau Bow.
Well, folks,
I guess we'll actually have to talk about this a little bit.
Of all those characters, all those silly names, we're pretty much just going to talk about two of them. Really,
three.
Kind of three.
Yeah, so first off, there's Amuro.
Amuro!
He's a computer science nerd who is really kind of stupid.
A lot stupid.
So the first thing we get of him is Frau Bao trying to get him to the damned safety shelter because, you know, there's a threat of attack or something. And the fact that this is a war where in the course of 4 months or so, or wait, was it 4 months?
Yeah,
4 years?
4 months, I think.
In the course of 4 months, half of humanity is dead. If you walked down the street in this world by 100 people, 4 months later, 50 of them were dead.
Yeah.
He should be much more worried about this.
Yeah. He's not, though, because...
Science!
Pretty much, yeah. Well, instead, he has a little robot buddy who is worried for him?
Maybe he gave it that part of his brain.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, I do know one thing. This man is glorious in a cockpit, and by that I mean his entire fighting strategy is to scream, cry, and flail wildly until his enemies defeat themselves.
Also, he has assistance from the Gundam's internal computer.
Yeah, which also screams, flails, and cries wildly until the enemy defeats itself.
I get the impression that the whole point of this anime was the exploration of what happens when you don't get the people with the right stuff in war.
Honestly, I think Shinji Ikari has a better piloting record than this guy so far.
To be fair, Shinji Ikari's robot computer was actually his mother's soul, so it was, you know, better able to pull the slack for him.
Yeah, but it wasn't in charge half the time.
Yeah.
For just a quick example, okay, it's the third episode. He's fighting against two enemies that have superior mobility. He's out of ammo entirely. All he's stuck with is his very, very pink lightsabers. So what does one of the key enemy, one of the big bads, decide to do? I'm gonna bear hug him!
I'm gonna fight him without weapons! No, wait, sir, that's stupid. You shouldn't do that. This thing is too powerful.
Bear hug him! Bah!
I've had more robot fights than you'll ever have.
And then he gets himself cut. No. He doesn't even get himself cut in half. He cuts himself in half.
He runs onto the lightsaber.
Yeah, and then he turns slightly so it cuts into him.
It's like if the can in a can opener, if the can moved itself rather than the can opener moving it.
Yeah.
Amuro should have been dead so many times over.
Yeah, the only thing that really keeps the poor guy alive is the fact that his mech is apparently made of super tough stuff, and it's impossible to hurt.
That's always sort of been the thing about Gundams, is that they're really expensive, but they're made of Gundanium alloy. At least they were in a Gundam Wing, which makes them nigh-invulnerable.
Yeah. So, trying to think of a character for this guy. Really, all he is just a panicky, nerdy kind. He's Shinji Ikari's prototype, really.
Yeah, except that this guy isn't as grating as Shinji. That's sort of because zero is greater than a negative number, but that isn't saying much.
I was about to say, at least he doesn't have Shinji's daddy issues, except he kinda does.
It's just that he killed his father and didn't notice.
Yeah.
I really hope he figures that out later.
Now then, for the, I guess, love interest of the show, Frobow! Frobow! Frobow!
The first time we see her, she uses mean look. And her ability Intimidate lowers his attack so that she's able to drag him off to the shelter. Or at least tries to drag him off to the shelter.
Considering his attack is Splash, yeah.
Frobow is not a very creative character. I mean, this show sort of went new directions with robot shows. We'll talk about that a bit more under Final Thoughts.
Yeah.
But this is a character that, even by 1970-something, was already well-worn.
Yeah.
The love interest who is very naggy.
Yeah. And also childhood friend, I guess.
Yeah, girl next door, naggy love interest. Or at least presumed love interest.
Yeah.
If she isn't the love interest, I'm surprised and I should give the show some more credit.
Yeah. But until that point, Frabow just kind of is there. She
does things, but not a lot of them.
She's a medic, kind of? She helps medics?
I guess she's kind of a medic in the same way that Amuro is a mecha pilot. There's no one else left.
Yeah, though she does considerably less crying.
And flailing. You don't want to flail when you're patching up wounds.
Yeah.
I think the last of the protagonists who's really noteworthy is Ryu Hose.
Jose!
Who is a fat giant.
I don't know why his last name is Jose. I don't know why his first name is Ryu.
Maybe it's pronounced Jose because it's Japanese, but I prefer to say Jose.
Jose! Ryu Jose!
Right now, I'm looking at the character model thing like that has all the relative heights. He is easily the size of any three of the characters.
Honestly, the best thing about him is his name. I didn't even know his name until after the fact. He's just kind of there to shoot at things that are punching. I'm around!
He's a fighter pilot who's basically, well, up until now, he'd been in the simulators twice.
Yep.
The main reason I bring him up is because Ryu Jose is fun to say. And also because he sort of shows that, like we said, this is a situation where you have people who have no training or no right to win being thrust into the middle of war.
Thankfully, their enemies are Char as Noble.
Char is my favorite character.
Here's his idea of stealth. just to give an idea of his character. His idea of stealth is to put on a very pink jumpsuit, fall through the atmosphere, hit the ground, and still wear his mask, and then meet his sister, who is also a part of the other side, despite him thinking that she isn't.
Or if she's dead or something.
It's one of those plots. I don't really care, anime. I don't think I care.
You see, anime, in order to make us care about these situations, you have to give us more than 2 minutes per plot point.
Yeah.
And then you have to follow up on them.
Yeah. But he's an interesting character. He walks around wearing a mask at all times. I'm not entirely sure why. And he's the Red Comet, quote-unquote. I'll get into that in presentation.
He's Amuro for the bad guys, but he's as much more competent.
Yeah, he's the rival. He's, honestly, if you're into anime, you probably already know who Char is.
One thing is, if you've ever seen another Gundam series and you saw somebody with a metal face mask and blonde hair, this is the guy who started that.
Yeah, he's the inspiration. Apparently there were a few clones of the guy as well.
Yeah.
Well then, that's really about it for characters.
At least as of episode 3. There might be more development later, but this show is much more interested in the larger politics and the mecha action, and not in that order.
Yeah.
Speaking of mecha action, point 4, presentation.
You suck at that. You are not a master of segues. Right then, one thing I want to get out of the way right quick. This was made in 1979. For that alone, the animation is not bad.
Nope.
The coloring, however, suffers from what I like to call Super Friends syndrome. See, in Super Friends, sometimes they had to use up all the main colors for the important things. Like, all the red went to Superman's cape. All the blue went to Batman. All the green went to the Green Lantern's bodysuit. Which often meant that the Green Lantern was shooting yellow rays.
Is that actually what happened?
Yeah, sometimes. Well, you see, in Gundam here, they say, Char has some notable red all in his costume. They have to keep that red all the time. And the Gundam has some red in its costume, so they have to keep that red all the time. Which means that the other things that are supposed to be red kind of aren't. See, Char has a red mech. It's why he's called the Red Comet. Only it's pink.
I thought it was because of his communist sympathies.
possibly. But still, it is a very, very pink mech.
Dude, it's light red!
Yes. Go to the back of the line, Doma. Anyways, a lot of things that should be red are very pink. Including the lightsabers of the Gundam.
Yeah, I wonder if that's more less a technical issue and more of they had to do it that way so it'd be more visible.
Honestly, I don't know. But could you imagine Darth Vader running around with a pink lightsaber?
If he was that Hello Kitty Darth Vader that made the rounds on the internet a few years back, sure.
Those dark times aside.
Theme song. Theme song is very disco. Like I said before, last week, the proper genre for a giant robot show is disco, as far as theme song goes. Honestly, though, this one wasn't one of the best. There were some nice things. And also, the end theme song, like half the dialogue in the show, I swear, is people saying Amuro. The end theme...
Amuro!
The end theme is also about Amuro.
Amuro!
Amuro is funny. He's made of turtle meat.
We love eating Amuro. Right then. Direction is fairly good, for the most part, you know, as far as direction goes. The voice acting is... Honestly, it's not as bad as I would have thought it would be.
Alright, was this a 90s dub or an 80s dub?
I think it may have been an 80s dub, but I do know that it wasn't really censored at all.
Yeah. If it was an 80s dub... It is a god among 80s dubs. There are no intentionally annoying voices. There are some not particularly good actors, but... but nobody's doing this for us!
How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah. No voices like that. Char sounds competent. Amuro, he sounds like Amuro should, honestly.
Kind of whiny.
Farmow sounds fairly normal.
And Jose doesn't have an accent.
At all, which is criminal.
Yes.
Well, really, it's not bad. It's an okay dub work. It wouldn't work as well nowadays.
The weird thing is that this is what's available on Crunchyroll instead of the subs.
Yeah, which kind of shocked me. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Well then.
I don't think I've ever seen anything else on Crunchyroll that was dubbed, now that I think about it.
Yeah. I think that just leaves our final thoughts.
Yeah, okay. So, can I go first?
You go first. Yeah, go first.
So this is a show that is less interesting in itself than knowing what came after it.
Yeah.
If you like any Gundam series, my favorite is G Gundam, and it's such a radical departure from the rest of the shows. Because here's the thing about this, and this is from what I've gleaned from reading little bits and snippets about it over the years, and what we saw on screen, what I've seen in other Gundam shows, the underlying message of the Gundam shows is that war sucks.
Yeah.
One thing I like about the first three episodes is that neither side is... Well, aside from the fact that they're fighting each other, and we spend more time with Amuro and crew, there's nothing in particular that makes one the protagonist or the antagonist. Both are doing bad things to each other.
Yeah.
And in fact, I found Char to be a much more sympathetic character, if only because Amuro was incompetent, Char was competent, but was being ordered around by incompetence.
Yeah, that kind of makes you feel sorry for the guy.
This is one to check out if you have any sort of love of what they call the realistic mecha series. And I do. I like Gundam Wing. I like the American series Battletech and MechWarrior and Robotech, the other anime, which I think might have ripped off the plot from this one a little bit, because that one was also about a group of castaways trying to get away from people who were fighting them with minimal resources, like who had the one special mecha. So would I suggest this? Sure, give the first episode a shot. It's a piece of history, if nothing else, but it isn't especially great.
It is a piece of history. That's something that cannot be denied. Now then, my final thoughts. I found it a little boring.
Oh, I thought...
To be honest.
It was boring, yeah.
Yeah, but I could appreciate what they were trying to do with the plot. They were trying to be more with the plot than, say, Golion was... by and large, more of an action show. This wasn't as much. This was all about the characters and the drama focusing around them and the war.
And the politics and...
And the politics and the Leroy Jenkins and the pink lightsabers. Well, the thing of it is, as far as giant robot shows go, my favorite is still Super Robot Red Baron, which came out actually quite a few years before Gundam, but did one thing kind of interesting. It was both a super robot show, as you might guess from the title, but it was also kind of a real robot show, because due to the fact that it was a live-action production, they couldn't have Super Robot Red Baron, you know, pulling energy axes out of nowhere and busting out all kinds of super moves and talking and growing in size and stuff. So it's a weird mix of super robot and regular, normal robot. Which, Gundam, on the other hand, is strictly regular robot. Amuro continuously runs out of ammo, because he sprays like an idiot. And, seriously, his entire fighting style is flailing, and crying for help, and flailing.
Honestly, it's like if you put a particularly wimpy 13-year-old in charge of a tank.
Or you just... You know, Shinji Ikari. But to sum it up, this isn't bad. Honestly, this is pretty decent, especially given when it was made. This was made in 1979. Try to think of an anime that's good from 1979. I can think of a few live-action shows, but that's because of the acting. The characters. The acting.
Right.
Pretty much the acting.
It's not the writing.
Yeah, it's not the writing. The writing is very, very wooden. It's a little bit better here, actually, shockingly enough. And they can do more than what a live-action show could have done. And honestly, knowing what came after, I can see how this made a franchise. Looking at what came after, looking at what is there now. The Gundam idea itself is one that is ripe for, let's put it this way, abuse. And it was abused, but in a good way. Honestly, it's not a bad show. You should check it out if you want to. You probably already have. It is legitimately a piece of history, as Bobcat noted. And it's got some hilarious names.
Yep.
I'm Burke, and this is Bobcat. You don't get to say your own line. I hate you.
Oh, I was going to talk a little bit about what we're doing next week.
No. Do we have to?
Well, yes. I mean, anyone who's made it this far deserves to know what's coming up in the future. So, so next week, Burke was saying, find a good show from 1979. Well, we're going to give it a shot, because next week we're looking at Getter Robo G.
Getter Robo J.
Spoiler alert, I love the theme song.
I haven't heard it.
As always, remember that if you have a request for us or any comments, you can email us at darthbobcat@gmail.com or leave a comment anywhere on our YouTube page, our podcast page, our Blip page. Though we prefer you comment on the podcast page because that's easier for us to keep track of. And good night, good luck, and don't take any wooden fromows.